Hello, this is Florian speaking. Anyone else around?
Hey, good evening. This is Thorsten.
Hi. Where's the rest of the people?
I guess they are still in listener mode.
They need to authenticate themselves.
Hello everyone, Charles Schulz speaking. Happy 3rd of
Hi,
November. Hey
hi.
Charles. Hello everyone.
Thank you, thank you. I'm in finally.
Hello, everyone.
Everyone.
Anything important that I should note before we start? Did some mailing list explode or something like that? Because I
No.
just arrived at home.
No, everything's normal.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we already arrived in normal mode.
Hi, André here.
Hi, Andre.
Hello,
Hi.
André. Morning, André.
Looking for numbers, I think.
Okay, I got my pin. Come on here.
Okay.
Hello. So, who are we missing? Guess no one. Sophie can't attend, she said, and Christoph is here as deputy, I think.
Yes.
So then I propose we just make a start.
Is Italo here?
Obviously not. Okay, then I propose we start. I copied to the IRC chat the agenda we have. I have a terrible echo. Anyone in hands-free mode might be responsible for that.
Well, it's quite good here. No
Yeah,
echo on my side.
Also good for me, me.
Oh, fine for me.
Okay. Let's try. It's a bit hard to talk when you hear yourself, but I'll give it Yeah, it's so irritating when you hear your words 3 or 4 seconds later again. Anyway. So the first action item on the agenda for today is a discussion on the versioning scheme that we have.
I think the first item is who takes the minutes.
I do take the minutes.
Yeah, the one who asked. Was it Charles?
Yep.
Perfect.
Thanks, Charles.
Okay, then the first action item is the discussion on the versioning scheme. And there is a link on the wiki page, which I also will post to IRC. And the point is about the versioning that we want to apply for future LibreOffice releases. The current version is 3.3 as announced. We currently have beta and plan to have the final version within the next week. and underhaste discussions on which versioning scheme to follow, starting again with 1.0 or moving to something like Ubuntu has with year and month. So, what are your opinions on that one?
Well, reading the discussion at the mailing list or the mails that have been sent, it seems to me that we fairly agreed to go with 3.3 for the moment and maybe change to something else later. But for the moment, I really would go with 3.3.
Yes, I agree. So I think it's really good to make the point that we are really, really similar or compatible to the OpenOffice.org version. And and release mostly or more or less at the same time. So I think that makes perfect sense for at least for this release to have that version number.
Yeah, this is Colin here. I pretty much agree with Thorsten as well. I think we should keep it for 3.3 for this release. For any further release, I don't mind at all. But of course, it'll have to be a number greater than 3. No resetting back to 1.0 at that stage.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Whatever the numbering scheme we choose in the future, that would be very misleading for everyone. Changing again the something else in 2.3.
Yeah, I totally agree as well. We announced 3.3, so changing that at this phase would be really bad, and afterwards we can decide. I wouldn't make it too complicated. There was one proposal of having like 3.4 and then adding year and month. That's too long, I think, but I would discuss this later on. 3.3 for now, and then afterwards, let's see, but not going back to 1.0.
Yep, agreed.
Yep. And just as we mentioned earlier as well, there are different version numbers inside in the source, and it is technically possible to change the source, the version number of the application as displayed publicly, and then have an internal version number that controls what version that extensions are compatible with. So the extensions can say they're compatible with version 3.3 or 3.2, and we can change number in the user interface to be version 10 and have no effect on that.
Okay, I see.
But it's a little bit untried at the moment, so definitely not for this release.
Well, I think Sun tried this already with the office.
Exactly, yeah.
So what I would like, Christoph speaking, what I would like to avoid is something like LibreOffice XP or LibreOffice ME or something like that.
But Rista would just, be okay.
Just kidding. The Graydon scheme by Microsoft for their operating systems.
Okay, so I think then we basically agree to all points. Any more we should add at this stage to this action item, or shall we just move on?
No, move on, I'd say.
Okay, I agree. And then I would propose we start the discussion on the future versioning as soon as 3.3 is out, but not before. Okay,
that's
the next one is probably a bit more tough. It's about the copyright assignment discussion that has been going on. I think Andre and Charles, you have been following that closely. I'll try to sum it up, and then please feel free to correct or enhance what I say. It's the discussion we started by saying that we do not want to have a mandatory copyright assignment, because this has been a reason for many issues in the past, for problems with contributors and the like. And now there are many discussions going on the advantages and disadvantages of not having a copyright assignment. And I think the latest proposal was to maybe have an optional one. And I think it's a point we should discuss. So, Andrew or Charles, does one of you want to sum up the current discussion?
Go ahead, Andrew.
I can hardly sum up the discussion, because it's like you described, there are different opinions and different reasons to have a copyright assignment or not to have a copyright assignment. To me, personally, both positions are valid, so I have no strong opinion on this. But So what I would go for is really an optional copyright assignment, because we had some individuals on the list who said, well, I would sign it and I see some benefit. And after all, having the copyright assigned from several people to the foundation, there might be a benefit, I'd say. But I would not do it, I would not enforce it.
Yes, I completely agree. So so my impression really is that apparently the developers, I haven't read any comment from a developer who was really really or glad and or willing to sign that. I mostly read lawyers proposing that and developers rejecting that. So if there's a kind of middle ground we could meet to have an optional assignment, that I guess would be fine by me. But that said, I don't think that's a decision we have to make today, because for that we would really need to have a foundation. It doesn't really make sense to sign copyright over to the interim asset holder and later on ask people in, I don't know, 2 months or whenever the foundation is established, to sign it over to the foundation. So I think there is no real pressing need to decide on that today. That said, I guess it would be okay to have something optional.
Yeah. I would agree with Torsten here, I'm not against a an optional copyright agreement myself. But I think the problem, and I wish Chitello could have been here, but I wish the problem is somewhat orthogonal to whatever we're discussing with respect to whether a copyright agreement is good or bad. Keep in mind that the best open source, the best players in open source are grouped in a project called the Harmony Project, not the Apache Harmony Project, but the Harmony Project, hosted by the FTF. And I can tell you, these people are struggling with common wording or to find common solutions precisely on this matter. So I think it's very complex. But my comment here is what I see is that there are tensions and questions coming from one specific community, which is the Italian community, and they've been with us ever since the beginning. But what I see is two or three people voicing a very strong opinion on copyright agreements and copyright assignments. And what I feel is that this is not the real issue. The real issue is perhaps interpersonal, or it's something else. But aside the real question of the copyright assignment, what I see is a lot of interpersonal tensions. Now, to put it bluntly, I think actually, I'm sure Michael would put it that way. I'm thinking aloud here. If we set up that copyright assignment, and which is optional, concretely speaking, what do we get in exchange? Do we get developers? Do we get...
No.
Et cetera, et cetera. That's a comment. But I'm just saying, I understand there are questions and tensions inside the Italian community because of that. But if these are three people, really pushing for this, I'm just questioning the need for, not for a debate, but I'm just questioning the need for us to go through the pains of a copyright agreement.
So, Charles, this is Michael. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, Michael, you were there. Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Terrible trouble getting the dial-in details as normal. Okay. So, apart from that, I think you're right that there is no real problem with having an optional copyright assignment agreement. I think the problem is a wedge issue. So, once you have one, what do you say about it? Do you say this is recommended or not recommended? My take would be that it would be strongly not recommended. I don't think it adds any value. So I think you don't actually solve the problem with the introduction of the agreement, because you then still have to have a statement on it. I think that one of the reasons LibreOffice is promoted enthusiastically by lots of people, and I'm here at the Plumbers Conference, and you know, many of the most influential people in open source are here, and eager for LibreOffice, primarily because it doesn't do copyright claim. So I think you lose that. And I think you then also have to decide what your copyright assignment says, and there actually isn't a very good one out there anyway. And you have to decide what you would do with the rights, as in, you know, are these things that we can just give away to Oracle for a certain set of, you know, things in return, or what? I mean, you know, what is it there for? So I see none of those being solved soon, but it's a huge amount of work to do so, and lots of fighting and argumentation. And personally, I prefer not to do it now.
Okay, anyway, we don't need to do it now. As Thorsten said, it's only useful to have this in place when we have the real foundation set up, because the interim solution won't accept won't accept a copyright assignment. That's not what we are going to do. So for today, I would say that we tell, okay, we will have a look at this, and maybe we can get some counsel from Free Software Foundation or anyone else on this topic.
Yeah, so let's say we ponder the problem and we decide later or something like that, we don't reject it, but we will think about it hard and thoroughly.
Yeah, and actually this is a very good idea, because if what we're seeing, as I suspect, is more of people having a different conversation instead of an actual deep face into copyright assignments, maybe everybody will have a more relaxed view, and let's say in about 2 months or something like that, you know, we'll revisit the topic, keeping in mind that this is indeed a matter. This is a matter of interest. This is a question we have to answer, and this is a position we have to clarify. For the moment, what I'm seeing is the simple equation of no copyright assignment gives us developers. If I start to see the opposite, I'll change my opinion. And I think that should be your opinion. And we've heard people demanding these things and you know, explaining why they think it's important. But we'll take this into account in 1 or 2 months after we're getting established.
Yeah, I also agree. I think if we want to go with some sort of copyright assignment, even if optionally, some legal advice is important, and what my perception has been, and developers may comment better on this than I can, is that there has been lots of activity which is related due to the fact that we do not enforce the copyright assignment. And if we can have something in between would be great, but let's postpone it until later. As Thorsten said, do not reject it totally, but let's be open and discuss this later on. So any further comments on this?
What I'd like to see is more clear message when we will pick this up again and who will take care about this. Because, for instance, the issue is raised by the Italian community at the moment, but I know there are other people asking for the issue. But maybe we can say, well, Andrea Peschetti had a strong voice on this, and he gets in discussion with someone from the steering committee at the beginning of next year or in December or something like this.
Sounds good to me. I mean, I think Andrea wrote some good things. I liked some of his mail. I'm sure we'll come around to a recent view in the end. and I'm happy to talk to him too, if that helps. But perhaps you want someone more moderate.
Okay, so the recommendation would be that you, Michael, and Andrea get in contact and, well, have this discussed in December or something like this again.
Sounds good to me. And we'll get into a call to present that, perhaps.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
So, are we done with this and move on?
I think so. Then let's move on to the next topic, which is, I think, consists of two topics. Probably a short update on the development of LibreOffice 3.3, and then on the... What was that?
There was the wind of change, you know.
Ooh, that was quite loud. Okay, it's about the localization progress. Andrew, do you want to talk about this? You're mostly in charge of the Poodle stuff?
Well, regarding the localization stuff, the Poodle server is set up. People are joining for the test environment, but I think what is currently set up as test environment is quite well to operate on the production side as well. So we are fine with this. What is currently missing, is the idea about the process, how to get the PO files from Git to the Poodle server and back again and all this stuff. But I hope we will have a technical engineering call tomorrow, and I hope we can talk about those things tomorrow. So, but what I'm interested in and what the translators are interested in is the question, if we have string freeze already, and when we will have the final strings on the Git repository. Can we answer this question already now, or should we have an answer tomorrow?
I think we're in feature freeze, so I think we it should be implicit that we're in string freeze as part of that. That would be my feeling on it.
Okay, so that means if I pull the PO files today and tell the people start with translation on this basis.
No, in that mindful. Thorsten, what do you think?
Generally speaking, so there might be one or two late features. I'm not.
So will we?
The problem is that we really still not. Where we want to be in terms of installer size on Windows. So one of the plans there was to have purely online help, and that might require one or two menu items or dialogue. So
yeah, I mean, so that's fine. So we have a specific feature or two that we need to fix before we can string freeze. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what. So that's what we'll do then. We'll just put that as a public bug and say to everybody when this bug is finished, then it's open for string translation.
Yeah, sounds good. Hopefully that will be done by the end of this week and more or less
okay.
Sync with the beta 3.
Andre, you mentioned an engineering conference call tomorrow.
Yes, I got an invitation for the call tomorrow evening, and I think Sophie will also join so that we can talk from the localization perspective in the call.
Okay.
So So are there any further updates on the development you can share first, Michael?
The fact that we did the branch on Monday, so we have a dedicated 3.3 branch, which is, except for like one or two late features, is frozen feature-wise, and is now we have, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks for stabilizing that, fixing showstopper bugs, and as mentioned, starting the final translation round. We should have binaries, hopefully early next week for beta 3. So I guess we should, most of the people would not be happy to have that called RC1, because there was quite some activity, so I guess we should have a beta 3 followed by an RC1 shortly after that.
So this is Michael. There are a number of known bugs, and just to give you a breakdown, the Windows installer currently doesn't have BROffice branding in that locale. Friedrich is working on that. Similarly, some of the product name replacements don't work for BROffice, so the Splash and the About are branded, but it still calls itself LibreOffice, and that's being looked at. Nextilda's migration fix is in online, nominally working on that. It may be a bit late. It's actually quite easy, I think. Our office guy has sent some artwork for the shell, but it's not correctly split into the pieces it needs to be in. So it would be great if they could fix that. I don't know if Olivier is on the phone, but that would be really helpful. And then there's some online help work that's happening. Mission Super is working on that to get all of the help actually online so we can not distribute it. And then, you know, apart from that, some nice credits page to go in there, but that's mostly done by Sebastian, I think. It just needs turning into a document we can put in the product itself, and some translation fixes, and then I think we're there, really.
Okay. One question from my side, Christoph speaking here. I did not follow the development at the moment so closely, but as far as I know, the current branding in LibreOffice is mainly bitmap graphics. So is there any need to remove the beta and maybe to tweak the branding a bit?
Yes, good point. I think we probably need that doing, actually, yes.
Okay.
We may have artwork without that, I forget. There's a couple of profiles that we can build from, but I don't know that switching between them works at all at the moment. So, yeah, that would be great to check out.
Okay, so
new basically, pretty new graphics, always appreciated.
So what I can provide is an updated branding, which is based on the first version. If this is okay to you all, because for more the time is rather limited, or we have to ask somebody else to put it in. But basically, if we are in tough time needs, whatever, then it's easier for me to come up with that until the weekend or so.
Yeah, that will be great. I don't think we need it until the weekend. We need it, I don't know, later next week, earliest, because at least the next build, I guess, will be called beta still. So, but the one after that, we would need that.
Okay, so just to be sure, when do we need the final artwork for the final version?
As soon as possible. Latest, I think, a few days before final release, whenever that is.
Okay. Okay.
I think in future we might want to consider having a separate beta artwork that we can composite over the splash, so there are actually two images, and we can just stop doing that when we share, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's easier.
Yeah.
Torsten, a quick question, maybe just a side note, but the current program icon for LibreOffice is still the old S-curve branding. Will we change this to the paperclip, probably, in terms of consistent branding?
I think that's only limited to Mac, I guess, as far as I can tell.
Okay, yeah. might be.
Yeah.
Sorry, at least for Beta 1 on Windows, it was also the desktop icon. I don't know for Beta 2, but...
Yeah, so there's a whole lot of, because we just basically switched back to the to the old Sun icon set. So, well, yeah, if you're referring to that, that's quite a lot of work, because there are, like, I don't know, some 30 or 50 icons with that design. But yeah, but I think we should do that post 3.3. That's really a lot of work.
Okay, I don't know how much work it is to at least change the desktop icon and the dock icon for OS X, but this is at least the icon the casual user will see the first, so if we can have this fixed for the final version, that would be great.
Okay, so maybe we can ask on the list, because people already proposed some improvements, and I have Ivan in mind to ask him to maybe come up with something like that, because he has a very good artistic skills. And the problem is that this is something related to the branding and artwork, that people propose to change this or that, and this is something we should decide within the next days, whether we want to have a stable artwork to finish all the branding, presentation, whatever stuff, and then continue to work on changes, or if we want to get the changes in as early as possible. But this is maybe a separate issue.
Well, I mean, if the icons are ready, I mean, just committing them and doing a build, that's mostly trivial.
No,
it's just a lot of work to come up with a set of good icons.
Yeah. The point is people asking for flying paper planes, for example, or to change the logo, or to do things like that. And since we already have some branding in preparation, and also the branding guidelines prepared, which already consists of about 20 images or so, any change we do at the moment causes a lot of additional work. So the question is, do we want to work for a stabilization within the community, or do we want to propose the current artwork to be final for, let's say, 3.3, and to provide for the discussion later on? Whatever we do, it has impact on all the presentations, the templates, the branding within the product, the development of the website, and so on, because it's colors, it's icons, and so on. And if we won't finish that, I'm more or less kept busy with that and cannot start any other task.
Well, I think we won't have a full stable branding in place for 3.3. Even if we provide something different or something which is now in work, we will at least slightly change this for 3.4. So we would have to change our materials anyway.
That's true. The question is whether we want to have, let's say the colors are fixed, the logo is fixed, and we set the icon, and then we can start to complete all the other things, including the maybe desktop icon for the software. Otherwise, we have to go back and iterate.
Christoph, what do you recommend? What's your take? You know, how can we support you to make it the best it can be?
So from my point of view, since we have some discussions ongoing, I would like to ask for some stabilization, that we say, okay, let's go for the logo at the moment, and I will try to iterate the colors with the guys on the marketing list. And if we have that, then let's say, okay, let's go for it, finalize the templates for the presentation, and then we have basic material, everything we need for, let's say, marketing, press, and so on, and then we can easily start to reiterate. Then we have a complete set we can work with, and we have something as a backup solution.
That sounds wonderful to me. Does anyone disagree?
I don't disagree, but I got lost if we still talk about the application, or if we talk about application independent marketing and branding stuff.
Yeah, everything at the moment.
But this would mean you are still working on branding stuff and want to push this or some basics into 3.3 or not?
I don't want to push that because it's more or less identical. It's more or less tweaking of the 3.3 or so. It's just a question if, let's say, people proposed, I haven't answered that yet on the list, people proposed to use a different logo and to make it more emotional or something like that. And so if we say that's it at the moment, we keep the document icon, then it's easy for me to harmonize that across the different presentations and also the software. If we say we want to change that, then this would also have impact on the software, of course. I don't want to push anything. I just I would
say so. My simple answer is: for the moment, let's stabilize the software. That means either leave it as it is, or bring in what you have at the moment.
Okay.
And then work on improvements for 3.4.
Right. So sounds good. So at the very least, we need a new splash screen without the beater. And optionally a bunch of desktop icons and MindType icons and everything else we postpone to post 3.3.
So concerning the icons, we may need some help, but this is something I can ask on the marketing list and other some other things. So if this is stable, this is my orientation for the rest and also for the others who are working on the Libo box and all the other important things. Okay.
So any further points regarding that, or shall we move on to the next item, which would be website and the left drive?
Please go on, and thanks for the intermediate topic.
No problem. You're welcome. Okay, so I guess this is a short update from my side. If Christian Neumeier is in the call, he maybe can add something later on. Regarding the website, you know, remember last week we agreed on using Silverstripe for the next month as our content management system, and maybe later on then migrate to Drupal. And Christian Neumeier has already set up, with the help of others, a template and have a running a virtual machine with the template. And now it's up to us to set up a machine to host everything on. And you may recall that last week I said we already have a server. We had to make a backup server out of this for the current stuff. So the status quo is that the machine dedicated for hosting this DNS arrives today and it will be finished probably by tomorrow. And then the teams can start working on that. So basically the Silverstripe template is ready as far as I know. And then it can be just migrated, and we can distribute the tasks and the like. What we have done in general in terms of infrastructure is to distribute tasks, like since today we have Manuel in the boat who is working on the wiki with us, so we can put the burden on many shoulders, same with the website stuff. And I would expect that people can start working on the production machine the weekend, the latest by Monday, I'd say.
Cool.
And, yeah, just for clarification, we said we will use the LibreOffice.org website where people can work more product and marketing oriented. And I guess that we will leave the current Document Foundation website in the state as it is today, and people will work on localization of the LibreOffice website. At least we have set up to be the case. So any questions on that?
No.
Okay, then I think we can just go on to the next topic, which is one for, I think, Charles and Andre. It's an update on the bylaws draft for deciding on how you can become a member of TDF, who can become a member and the like. One of you just want to give an update?
It's more Charles and Thorsten.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Thorsten.
Well, Well, the problem I had was that apparently our action items were significantly overlapping. So what I did was coming up with a proposal, which is at the TDF, I think election, TDF/election in the wiki. That mostly circles around the fundamental idea I proposed last call, to have only one class of member, which is just a normal member, full member, and one member has one vote on the annual meeting and can vote for his or her favorite director. And then we have a board of directors, which basically governs the foundation. And everything else, there are probably like tons of details and legalese you need to put around that, but that's the broad idea. Let me paste. Oh, thanks, Andre. Okay. I would propose to not talk about that in detail on this call, because that was really on rather short notice. I posted that an hour ago, so probably most of you have not read that yet. So,
yes, I think we should read through this and discuss either on mailing list or next call, the latest.
Yes, I agree.
Tom, some input from your side?
Yes. So I essentially tried to draft the bylaws, circulated them at first in rather closed environment, I would say. Feedback I got is pretty good. Feedback I got from you is pretty good. I think I would generally agree with most of what you said. The difficulty when drafting bylaws is that you never know how accurate and how deep you have to go. So I think 30%, I would even say 50%, of what we will be discussing in the future are the amendments or the modifications we can do in the future and upcoming first serious draft will depend, in fact, of the entity/country we will base the foundation in. So just perhaps for context, if no one minds, we're talking about bylaws and these things, and bylaws are useful for the community, obviously, they're essential, but bylaws also serve the purpose of the foundation as a legal entity. You need those things, and you obviously need more documents and perhaps more bylaws for this entity. And so the thing is, right now, we have started to investigate, obviously, the type of entity we want and where we want to base it, and we have come up with a short list. Yeah. All this just takes time, but we have to work with bylaws, and when we are pretty sure that we can come up with something, at least comprehensive or complete, then we can say much more important.
I think at the moment I agree it's quite difficult to draft real good bylaws as long as we do not know where to establish the legal foundation and to which law we need to confirm. But what I would suggest is that, well, I read your draft and also the comments, and maybe you incorporate the comments and put the basic things, at least the basic ideas from your draft, to the public wiki.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to do that. It's a good idea.
Yeah. So, and, yeah, but what's really tricky, I think, is to separate the legal bylaws of the real foundation from what we want to have for the community. This relates, but it's not the same. I'm not sure how to separate this at the moment.
Yeah, but, you know, let me give you just an example. For instance, I don't know how it goes, let's say, in the UK or in Germany, Andrew, but in France, why I was mentioning the financial board and every time I was talking about a financial officer, it's because in France, when it's a foundation, you don't need to have an accountant. You need to have a public officer called a commissaire au compte. That's someone who did about 2 years more of studies, more above the accountant level. And guess what? This guy is a public officer, so he has the authority of the state to stamp your accounting, and he does the accounting with you as well. So he's some sort of super accountant. And the good thing is that he goes to jail before you go to jail in case of problem. However, because he's a public officer, you need to mention this in the bylaws, that you're going to have it, that it's mandatory to have it. So you need to take into account the fact this will not just be an accountant somewhere, but you have to work with this sort of officer.
Yes, okay, but this is necessary to be in line with the local law. So this is not necessarily something we as the Document Foundation, as the community, want to have. So at least I'd suggest that you put some, note or mark on these items you think that are necessary to comply with the local law.
Yeah, maybe something put them in a different color, saying, well, this might actually be scrapped out from the bylaws because it's completely country-dependent or something like that, or belongs to a legalese section.
Yeah. So, I mean, ideally, we would have a draft bylaw that does not include like all those like white noise things that are required just because, and I think the really important thing is not to agree on anything, but to know if somebody or group of people is really against or completely against specific things. And as far as I can tell, for how I read those, most of the things I don't care so much about. There are like one or two or three things I really care about, and everything else I'm just basically indifferent. And I think that's probably similar with you.
Sorry, what did you just say, Torsten?
So what I really want, or what I really need, is to have drafts that cover the gist of what we want to do. So what I want to avoid is that later on people come up and say, oh, I'm completely against this or completely against that. So that's why I think to have early drafts out is good. And
okay.
So as of now, I think there was no strong rejection on any point. Except that maybe we don't want like 10 subcommittees.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more on this? Shall we move to the last point? Okay, then the last point, copy to IRC, the last point is talking about which rules you want to have for local groups, for localizing content, for people offering Document Foundation or LibreOffice websites. As of now, it is people have been registering LibreOffice and Document Foundation domains. Most of them have contacted us. We made some sort of quick agreement telling that we were happy that they registered them, and all of them agreed to hand over their domains as soon as the foundation exists to the foundation, and they would just forward their website to our official website. What you have heard before is that we are working on the option to provide a localized website, so every local group is able to have the website in their language. They can translate it within our framework in our CMS. And we had this week a small issue with someone setting up a website looking like Document Foundation. It was localized, and the issue is that the website was copied, basically, but there was a donation button going to a different entity. So the issue is, how do we want to deal with people who want to set up a Document Foundation website, who maybe want to accept donations? What should be your general policy on that one?
Well, my take on this in general would be, for the LibreOffice websites, I'd say we want to have localized websites. We provide a framework for localized websites, but we should allow people to have their own websites, as long as they, well, talk about LibreOffice, at least. For Document Foundation, I think it's a little different, because when you do a website about Document Foundation, you at least, well, look kind of official, representing the Document Foundation. And at the moment, formally, only we can do this. But at the same time, it would be good to have information about Document Foundation in more languages than just English. So what I would say is that we allow people to localize the website, to host this website, as long as it is really just a translation of the content that we provide. And, well, there should be mentioned that this is, or by whom the site is provided. But if there are any donations collected, this should be the original donation for the Document Foundation, not anything else.
I would add something else to this, Andre. That old communication tools, relevant communication tools, such as mailing lists, for instance, point directly to the corresponding mailing list on the documentfoundation.org website. Basically, if you have like the official Twitter account of, you know, Document Foundation, the LibreOffice thing, then if that's mentioned, you make sure that you make sure that's the actual one, not LibreOffice/John Doe.
So I have a slightly different take on that. So I don't think I have a general problem if somebody collects money on behalf of Document Foundation. I guess that should be considered on a case-by-case basis. So, for example, I wouldn't see any problem if the French or the Brazilian association is collecting funds, because, of course, they are supporting LibreOffice and the Document Foundation. I don't think it's that easy.
I think, Thorsten, I think the point is that what we want to avoid is people thinking they're donating to the Documents Foundation. In fact, they're donating to something to somebody else.
Yes, of course.
I think the core message is, if you want to localize, pages about LibreOffice or the Documents Foundation, then it's in fact very easy, at least in some cases. We have a wiki and we have a website. And if for some reason you feel like you want to do your stuff on your own servers, well, feel free to do so. But then we put some constraints on how far you can go in representing us. Unless, obviously, we say, okay, these guys are, in fact, that's us for that language and that country. And, you know, if I know that the Mozilla Foundation might or might not be a model for everyone, but, you know, in specific instances, they say, well, here you have Mozilla Europe, and here you have Mozilla Japan. And that's made for specific purposes. And it doesn't go in anywhere else. And if you have something else, for instance, in France, there's also a website which is a help and community website. It's called Gecko Zone. And that's for all the Mozillians. But it's okay, you know, they don't claim they are the Mozilla Foundation.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I see the point, I agree.
Well, generally spoken, it's probably hard to put this in concrete rules, but generally spoken, I'd like that we are as open as possible in that and as flexible as possible, but it's important that at least in terms of the Document Foundation, which is or soon will be the official entity and has some standing and also legal liability, it's important that it's clear who is representing it. And I agree to, I think Andrew just said it, that for LibreOffice it might be a bit easier. We could see it a bit more relaxed. It turns out to be a case-by-case decision. But the case we had this week with someone setting up a website that looked exactly like Document Foundation and it was just translated and then collecting donations and also making statements that then the general press will then guess it is by the Document Foundation. This is a risk we should be aware of. So maybe it turns down to a case-by-case decision, but at least in terms of the Document Foundation, I think it's very important that it's clear who is the spokesperson and who can represent it in public and the like.
Okay. I don't think we can have a decision on this today. At least it does not look as if we have general rules to tell today. Maybe we can work on this until the weekend. Someone, Charles, can you draft something? Or
yes, I can draft something. Yeah.
Can't we just say it's on a case by case basis? So I really wouldn't stress this all too much. At least not until we have the foundation established and formal votes going on. Because I would just treat a bit lightly on that topic. If there are clear cases as the one you mentioned, I think that's obvious to everybody. Otherwise, I would not set this in stone today.
Okay, so the general rule is, if you want to set up a local Document Foundation site, then send us a link, let us check what you have done there, and we will approve or not.
I think, because I'm reading the notes that I'm taking, so I think I may have something for everyone, at least until the foundation is established. So here's what I wrote, and tell me if you're fine with this policy, which will be temporary until we have the foundation established. Advice rule: allow people to localize content, advise them to do it on our site, be flexible, But these, when it comes to representation of the document foundation, statements, donations, bank accounts, mailing lists, etc., cannot mean or intend to represent the document foundation unless they come from the original source or are authorized on a case-by-case basis. How does it sound?
Pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's also the case that the authorization is legally necessary. If people are using our trademark and we are not authorizing them, then we have a serious problem and we begin to lose rights to it, just from a legal perspective. So I think it's absolutely mandatory that these people be authorized in some way, whatever they do, whether they donate to themselves or whoever.
Okay, I see.
So, okay, anything else from the side of the steering committee? Because if not, I would propose that just like last week, we open the microphones for maybe 10 minutes for anyone who is with us to raise questions.
One point still open. I just was checking the tasks from last meeting. I still have the task to come up with a list of next steps. I collected this list and I did some put some priorities on this, but it's still not really complete or well structured. I had some talk with Christoph on this, and I think I can publish this on Friday, put it to the wiki. So just as an update on this task.
Okay, so finally, just tell me what you need with regard to help or something like that.
Well, I need you as my slave, that's all.
I thought I am already your slave, but however, okay, I have been free, yes.
So, anything else?
Not from my side.
So then I propose that we right now open the microphones, so everybody who is shy should better hang up, but I'd like to open the microphones for those who are with us. If you have any questions or concerns or any sort of feedback, that's highly appreciated, and yes, you can raise it right now. So hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Don't be shy.
You in the back.
No one. All on gun, or?
I even see, I can see online the locations from where they dial in, and there is someone I even know by name, so.
But by the way, how many people do we have in the call? Do you see this?
We had up to 12, and right now we are 10 people in the room.
Okay.
Okay, just as a proposal, for the one who speaks first, we can provide a free version of LibreOffice Beta.
Yeah.
Well, this is true, and I will say hello, and I could use a version of LibreOffice Beta.
Hello.
Right, thanks for
letting me. Hey, if you buy one now, you get one free.
So there you go. Always looking for a deal. I don't really have a question at this point. I think you guys are moving along pretty well, and I have questions, but probably better done on the mailing list. I'll just say you're doing a good job, and I'm looking forward particularly to seeing how this website's going to progress over this weekend. But I think we're moving along really well. And that's it. That's all I'll say.
Who was speaking anyway?
Okay. Oh, sorry, this is Drew Jensen.
Hi, Drew.
Hello. Hey.
Hello, Drew. How are you doing?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm good. This is Paul speaking.
Good.
So, Drew, from my side, also thanks a lot for all your engagement and participation in the mailing list. That's greatly appreciated.
Absolutely.
Just one comment or one request. There was a question at the IRC channel. If the open issues for the 3.3 could be summarized at the wiki, does this make sense, Thorsten, Michael?
Yes, it does. I mean, ideally there would be a bug query that would just show you that, but some of these things just haven't been entered as bugs yet because we know what they are and people are working on them, and it's extra work. Yes, makes sense. Thorsten, you know you want to.
Well.
So anyone else? We don't bite, don't be shy.
Well, I already had my chance, thanks.
Well, this is Drew. I do have one question. Early part of the week, I guess there was discussion about including extensions in with the binary release. And I wasn't exactly sure how that ended up as far as whether we're going to have extensions we can remove or not remove. But the one thing I wanted to say on that is I believe it's good for us to treat these extensions now as shallow forks to LibreOffice and start treating them that way. That's all I wanted to throw out there. Thank you.
I'm going to have an answer for you. I think Thorsten and Michael may have a better one, but just for each you understand, I think it's a completely arrested solution or a decision at this stage, but one thing is pretty sure is that look at the extensions manager inside the software, well, there's that link to the OpenOffice or extensions site. We're not going to be linking to it anymore.
Well, but Charles, yep. this was not the point of the discussion. The problem was that the extensions that we already shipped with the installations cannot be removed by normal means. You cannot remove, for example, the presenter console with the extension manager anymore. It's just fixed in.
Okay.
This was the discussion about.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this is Michael. I mean, I wrote in reply to that mail that, you know, if we are bundling extensions by default that annoy people and confuse the menus, then it seems to me the best solution is simply to not confuse the menus and not annoy people, but leave the functionality there. And, you know, if it annoys people that they can't remove them, then maybe we just need to remove them from the list of things that can be removed rather than just removing the extension. I mean, you know.
I wanted to join this discussion, but I don't remember that well where I got that information from. As far as I know, there have been some change concerning that within OpenOffice.org as well, so that bundled extension won't be shown to the user, which is weird because it's still extensions, but basically if they cannot be removed, they had their own solution on that.
Yeah. So in wrapping up, I think it's a minor issue in my mind, and I think the benefits of having those extensions shipped and included by far outweighs the drawbacks and the inconsistency that those are shown but cannot be removed. Because as far as I can tell, those are really central parts of the product and. You don't even have a separate update schedule for them. They are basically tied to the product, and so I think they should be shipped.
Just from the end user's perspective, the discussion on the main list made sense, of course. So basically, besides the whether we ship it or not or whatever. It's a point, what kind of functionality to be expected in the product. So let's just assume somebody provides some support on the software and just want to look whether something is missing or installed or whatever. So to get an idea whether this is the original product or not, it might indeed make sense to distinguish within the extensions manager what can be removed by the user, which is installed by default, and cannot be removed, and what has been installed afterwards. This would be a dream, but basically, as you said, it's at the moment it's a rather minor issue.
Thank you.
Minor issue means in the terms of what's currently going on, and you may know that my very, very first issue I've raised for OpenOffice, no, my second one, I think, which I raised for OpenOffice.org was the redesign of the extension manager, which totally went mad that time, and there have been many improvements in the meantime. So I'm really interested in this topic. So if somebody starts to work on that or wants to have some advice, I'm happy to help here and to collect, of course, some opinions in the on the mailing list. Well,
so as anything else? Obviously not. Then, at least in Germany, it's kind of late. So, then thank you everyone for joining. I'm sure we will have a call next week, and this call will be open as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if there is nothing else, yeah, there is a short delay in Skype at the moment, I'm sorry. So if there's nothing else, then yeah, thank you everyone, goodbye, and have a nice day, evening, or whatever is at your place.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew, thanks for calling us.